everybody. Welcome to Muscle Science for Women. I am one of your hosts, Ashley Van Houten. Today is going to be a little bit different because this week, Rachel and I are just slammed, busy, super pumped about the launch of our brand new program, the Strong and Sculpted Shoulders Workshop, which if you haven't signed up, guys, you're missing out. It's such a great program. As someone who really, really loves big, strong shoulders on myself, on everyone else, I've spent much of my adult life trying to get giant shoulders and encouraging everyone around me to do the same. And so it's really full circle that we have this program now where we can teach people the how, the why, when, what, everything about how to build strong, functioning, mobile, happy, healthy, sexy shoulders. It's so important to me. It really is a passion project. So anyway, that's happening this week. So we weren't able to record a proper podcast episode. So what we're doing is we're re-releasing a really, really excellent one from way back that you guys may have missed. And if you didn't miss it, I mean, you should probably listen to it again because it's great. This episode is with New York Times bestselling author and naturopathic physician, Dr. Kellyanne Petrucci. The basic gist of this episode that I recorded with her was talking about nutrition, and it was talking about how nutrition needs may change as we age, but it was also talking about how to kind of reframe this whole concept of aging. Like, even the word sounds like a bad, sad word, like this inevitable thing we just have to deal with, and it's kind of sad and it's associated with all this negative stuff. When if we kind of flip our perspective a little bit, we're lucky to age. We're lucky to continue to be here and to keep learning and trying to be better versions of ourselves. And there are so many good things that can come with aging that we don't tend to maybe think about as much. And conversely, there are a lot of things that we associate with inevitable aspects of aging that may be very common, but are not necessarily normal and are not necessarily inevitable parts of getting older, and how we can change and reframe our thinking and reframe our behaviors and our lifestyle to better align with what we want to get out of our lives. So that's kind of a big deal. So I really thought this was an important episode and one that maybe we could all listen to again or for the first time and hopefully get a lot of wisdom and benefit out of. So that's what we're doing this week. I hope you enjoy the episode. If you haven't already, go sign up for our new program, Strong and Sculpted Shoulders. It's a great idea. You should do it. All right. Enjoy the episode. See you next time. I'm going to dive right into it because I've already done an intro. Everyone knows who you are anyway. You and I obviously see very much eye to eye on nutrient density, bone broth, all of these good things. I kind of wanted to dive into, because you do talk about foods for fixing maybe specific challenges that people are experiencing rather than maybe just, I just want to improve my health, which is such a vague concept anyway. And a couple of these topics I haven't really covered too much on the podcast. And so I'd love to start with the first one, food for anti-aging. Can we talk about this? And like, what does mean even to you?
Yep. So food for anti-aging, great question. And here's what it means to me. It means that there are certain foods that are going to move you towards an inflammatory life. They just are. They're going to move you towards that. And there's other foods that will do the exact opposite. So you have to think about food and nutrition and kind of dial into it in that way. I had a friend, and it was so funny, who didn't really pay particular close attention to his diet, never heavy, but he didn't have that luster and demeanor that follows through the type of foods that will keep you more youthful. And he had to have a surgery. And because of the surgery, he had to cut way back on a lot of different kind of foods because he couldn't process fats in the same way and he couldn't process foods in the same way. It was an intestinal thing. When I saw him, I kid you not, he went from looking 60 to about 25. That's what foods can do for you. So we always have to remember foundational. No matter what you layer on top of your plans, programs, protocols, diet, there's always this basic foundation. Mm-hmm. So anti-aging foods are the foods that we hear about so often, but we can't make them just a passing thought. We have to start thinking about these foods as this is my foundational foods. Yep. And then I could have other foods. I can train my body, because we'll talk a little bit about that. You can train your body to burn the way you want it to burn, which is the beauty of what we can do. But there are the same type of foods that we talk about oftentimes when we're talking about health per se that are beauty foods. I'll give you a great example. Blueberries are one of the most beautiful health foods for beauty. Mm. Why? Because they protect the skin against damage from the sun. Okay. That's a fact. That is a fact. And that's a double blind placebo study. This is a journaled fact that blueberries have the type of antioxidants in them that will protect your skin from any kind of damage from the sun. So thereby giving you less wrinkles. Mm-hmm. So if you say had a shake every day, if shakes were your thing, or you had some salmon once in a while and always coupled your salmon. Oh, I'm having salmon. I always put blueberries with salmon. You have to start making it like a habit, start making it habitual, make it a routine. Think of some of these foods. And I know that you're going to love this food is avocado. You can pair avocado with just about anything, right? Mm-hmm. And avocado is such a beautiful way to add beauty into your life. Mm-hmm. It makes your skin and the elastin in your skin very different. And again, it comes down to foundational beauty, luster, and demeanor. And things like blueberries, things like avocados, things like we know about leafy greens. We know that. Okay, but couple leafy greens and 10x it with things like a really good oil. There's anti-inflammatory herbs. We call them aromatics. They bring a whole different flavor. And by the way, if you want to eat healthy and you're thinking, how the heck am I going to eat healthy all the time? It drives me crazy. How you can differentiate food and make them really tasty is by using these aromatics, finding spices and things that you really love and use them in your food, and you can change the taste and yet still keep it healthy and exciting.
Yeah. And I like, obviously, that you used a lot of examples of delicious foods, because what I try to do is get people to eat nutrient dense organ meats, which is a much harder sell than blueberries and avocado. But
boy, again, does it work.
It works.
But anyone can look at you and say, I want what she has. Okay. Anyone can look at you and say, wow, she's got beautiful skin. She's got bright, clear eyes. This is not happenstance, guys. This happens when you know what to do, particularly after you get to a certain age. I can tell you that from my end of it. When you get to a certain age, you have to know some things. You've got to know some things. And then you become a timeless beauty. I don't know about you, but I'm planning on being a timeless beauty. That is my plan. That is my strategy. And it's not that hard. That's the thing.
I'm on that bandwagon too, for sure. And I appreciate a couple things about this conversation. One being that you can and should be looking at nutrition in this holistic but also targeted way before you need it. If you want to eat for beauty, you don't have to wait till some arbitrary age where you think it starts to really matter. You should be doing this all of the time and proactively approaching your health that way, you know?
You know what's funny about that? I have to just say something, because you had me thinking. It's so much marketing. So much of everything is marketing. Like, you think about dentists. Dentists had it right. They talked about this preventative side, and they made everyone really understand that with tooth care and gum care, there's this whole preventative thing that you have to do. You've got to floss, you've got to brush, you've got to see the dentist this many times a year. And most people oblige and they do that. And that's part of how we've been conditioned. Mm-hmm. And the Botox people, they were brilliant in their marketing, because they have actually convinced 22-year-olds that that's when you need to start using Botox to prevent the wrinkles, to prevent it. So a lot of, when we think about beauty and we think about, looks and, the outwardly appearance, a lot of it is how we've been marketed to. Yeah. And we try to match that marketing.
Yeah.
And so, that's another thing that you have to think of. It has to be, what you find beauty. And I love, that really, like, that Hepburn real classic beauty, like really growing into your beauty, growing into your grace by, really what's inside, and then doing the best you can with the frame that you've been given. And you can do that through eating the right foods most of the time. So it doesn't have to be no, and this punishment. Sometimes it's no right now. Sometimes it's like, it's not now. It doesn't have to be never. You can still have fairy dust in your diet. There's things that you still can eat, but you have to have a routine. You have to have that everyday beat is what's so important. Everyday beat, then you can change it up. you can change it up and have some of those foods that perhaps you're craving.
Yeah. And I also believe in this. I mean, I think it sounds cliche, but it's also true that beauty, like health is beauty, because a lot of us think different things, blonde, brunette, tall, short, whatever is going to be the most appealing. But if you are healthy, like you said, if you're vital, if you have healthy skin and you have energy and you're happy because you're healthy and your digestion is good, that is what makes people beautiful. We can all look different, but we're going to be beautiful in that way.
Health is a new luxury. Health is a new luxury. We're finding that out, that health is a luxury. And by the way, when you lose your health, you find out real quick how that effervescent, how that really comes from so many things that, you know, giving our body the right raw material. So when those cells turn over, they turn over in a way that works for you. You want your cells are begging to regenerate. They're begging to turn over. If you give your cells the right raw material within the lifespan of those cells, let me give you an example. Again, your intestinal cells, they turn over about every 21 days. That's why the bone broth diet was a 21-day bone broth diet. There was a reason for that. That was methodical. So for 21 days, if you give your body the right raw material, some pretty incredible things can happen. You start to turn over and basically develop, you know, a beautiful skin, eyes, framework. And it's a wonderful thing when you see other people transform, but that's all part of the transformation process.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned this individual who, you know, by all accounts, generally seemed pretty healthy, like wasn't overweight, but kind of didn't have that sort of like just vital, robust, healthy look. And I think that it's important to have this conversation right now, especially in the midst of what's going on in the greater world, where so many people are trying to just like survive, not thrive, not look their best, not feel their best, just kind of like get through it, which of course we want to fight back against, because I think no matter what your circumstances are, we want to be doing better than the bare minimum, right? Like you want to try.
And I think that's our role. I think that for your role, my role, you know, that is part of our role and certainly part of our passion and our mission. And, you know, we are mission-based, you and I and the people in our inner orbit. And let me just pose something for you. Part of the reason why people feel that way is because they're not excited inside, because a lot of people feel kind of, for lack of better words, blah, right? They don't feel that joy. That joy has kind of dissipated over time because we go through these periods of burnout, life burnout, by going from thing to thing to thing. You become very robotic in your life and what you do. But let me say this. I talk a lot about gut health, the importance of gut health. A lot of the products that I stand behind and a lot of the programs that I stand behind are very interconnected to this whole idea of gut health. And one of the reasons why is because understand that things like serotonin are manufactured in the gut.
Yep.
And this is what charges that feel good. It's the feel good hormone, right? You want... There's a gut-brain axis where you want everything that you're feeling to be as pleasant as possible. Mm-hmm. And you really can make a difference with food.
Yeah.
And of course, a lot of it's mindset. We know that it's mindset, but you have to meet people where they are. And sometimes they're like, I don't care about that mindset stuff. They're not there yet. They're just not. Mm-hmm. So what you can do is do everything you can, no matter where you are right now in life or no matter how you're feeling. You can start addressing the guts, because when you start addressing the guts, your immune system starts sparking back into action and the serotonin starts being manufactured. And then that gut brain axis, it starts communicating in a different way. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, you start feeling better. You start sleeping better. You know, keeping hydration in mind, make sure your body's hydrated, you know, hydration, sleep. Understanding gut health, these are all principles of good health that will really start changing your mind, your brain health.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the brain and then the second brain in the gut. That's where it all starts, right?
So, and understand that your brain, just like, you know, we pay attention to the outward signs of aging. That's what we see. But there's a whole thing going on inside. Yeah. And your brain can also age. Your brain starts aging. So that's another thing that we have to be cognizant of and start protecting our brain.
Right. So tell me some things that, you know, we all know that we are different when we're 15 to 35 to 55 to 75. But I think there are some things that a lot of us consider inevitable about aging, which is like some of the things you mentioned, sort of general just malaise and dullness that we consider inevitable that are not really necessarily. So can you talk a little bit about some of the things that are happening as we age and how we can minimize them or decrease the damage? And then some things that like aren't even really necessary part of aging at all. We just kind of think they are.
Yeah. So there's things that go on in our body. Our body's like an orchestra. One thing works with the other thing. And, you know, hormones are all interchanging and interacting. But some of the things that we see as we age and some of the things that you can control, for example, there's something called AGEs, advanced glycation end products. And this becomes more of a problem as we age, because with age, digestion starts slowing down because the enzymes in your body start slowing down. And we did this really kind of fun study I was on the Dr. Oz show talking about this, about how some people, when they eat a cracker, and why the whole principle, the whole premise was how some people really carbs just crush them. And other people, it doesn't affect as much. And the reason why is a lot of times your digestion and this whole ability of amylase to be able to digest foods and understand that your enzymes start slowing down as we get older. Yep. And thereby metabolism starts changing as we get older, as our whole mechanism between switching from sugar to ketones and understanding this balance. But you want to have this metabolic flexibility that you can bounce back between the two very efficiently. And as we get older, this metabolic flexibility, that too changes. So all of these things, in so much of how we age and how we see ourselves in the end of this whole aging process, oh my gosh, I see that my skin's lost its luster. I see some wrinkles are starting to form. I see my hair starting to thin. I see I'm starting to get this pouch, this belly. My skin is very different. My skin, it feels very different. All these things, and many women have come to me, they say, I don't feel like myself anymore. So much of this can be addressed by understanding how to properly hydrate the body and again, heal that gut, which is why I have been such a big proponent of bone broth. Mm-hmm. Why I have been such a big proponent of things like collagen, because, you know, I believe that protein is very important, particularly for women. You don't want to go through that sarcopenia, because there's nothing that ages you more than not having that muscle. That's why we have to make it so, such a core piece of our mindset when it comes to looking young. Mm-hmm. And so again, making sure, some really good anti-aging hacks are drink lemon water. That would be a great anti-aging hack because it's got a lot of things in there, hydrates you, and you've got a lot of vitamin C, actually, more than you realize in that lemon. That's a precursor for collagen. We need that to uptake collagen in our body. That's really terrific. Understanding that these healthy fats, healthy fats are really, a really important thing to consider. Alcohol, you have to watch alcohol because it does age us. And even though, I have most of my adult life, I have enjoyed alcohol, but I'm cautious about it. I actually think about it because I know it's part of the aging paradigm. It just is. Mm-hmm. So just understand that it's not so awesome for us to just keep your mind on that. Yeah. And again, sleep is really important. Make sure you keep the room at about 67 degrees. Make sure that you start watching all that blue light that's emitting from all over us about 2 hours beforehand. Blue blocker glasses are really helpful. And again, I'm going to go back to it. I love broths because here's the biggest thing for aging. If you can intermittent fast comfortably, if you can make sure you're getting that protein, you're cutting down sugar with those advanced glycation end products, which really aid you in a big way. And you can get that collagen and that gelatin to heal and seal that gut where all that good stuff is manufactured, and really work on your metabolism, work on your blood sugar. Because at the end of the day, the three things that are going to keep us the youngest, and I will say this is like the big aha of everything I'm going to say, you must reduce that overall inflammation, that head-to-toe inflammation. You must work on healing your gut, because life is hard on the gut. It just is. And thirdly, you want to become a natural fat burner, meaning you want your blood sugar to be healthy. You want a good blood sugar. You want to know that my hemoglobin A1C is where it should be, because then you know your body is running really efficient, and youthful bodies are efficient bodies. And those three buckets are what I look at when I'm evaluating any diet plan, when I'm evaluating products, when I'm evaluating anything. I know that I would not put my Dr. Kellyanne stamp on anything that did not provide those three buckets, because I know at the end of the day, the only way to make lasting change or lasting transformation is if those three buckets are involved.
Okay, this is so beneficial. I'm so grateful there are people like the Gabrielle Lyons and, you know, Dr. Lyon and Dr. Kellyanne's of the world who are influential, who can speak to this, because I do think it's kind of ironic to me that the people who tend to be mostly concerned with anti-aging, at least from an aesthetic perspective, do stereotypically tend to be women. We are also the ones who tend to have the hardest time with getting enough protein, getting enough dietary protein, and oftentimes managing the stress-related inflammation because we've been so programmed, and the healthy fat side of it, because we've been so programmed to eat low fat, that protein is heavy and bad for us, that these little 100-calorie carb snack packs are what's going to get us through the day.
And don't lift weights because you'll get too big.
Don't do that. We're all going to be bulky tomorrow. You know, that's the whole story. We all know it. But do you find that, like, bone broth, for example, is a good, like, gateway for women maybe who might be a little intimidated by the, like, upping the protein, animal protein side of things? It's a little easier for them to get their head around that. Do you find that, or?
I love that you said this, because it really is a good starter kit.
Yeah.
So for people who are saying, you know, I want those three buckets that you just talked about, you know, where do I start? I would say start by adding bone broth into your life.
Yeah.
Because once you start it, you'll get into it. That's why, you know, I first brought bone broth to the market. I didn't create bone broth, but I did revolutionize bone broth. I created a food category. When I first started talking about bone broth, there was not a single person selling bone broth or talking about it or anything. And that category is still going strong. And the reason why is because it works. That is the only reason why it's still going on. It still has teeth, and actually it's still growing.
Yep.
So bone broth is a good gateway for two reasons. Number one, it heals the gut. And number two, for those interested in fasting, it says, I keep trying fasting and I bonk or I can't do it. It's a great way to add comfortable fasting. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that you can do for anyone, they say, I want to start doing bone broth. What do? I always recommend first that you start with chicken, because it's more familiar to people. Mm-hmm. It's just a more familiar flavor. And by the way, understand that bone broth is not like a can of soup that you get. They're entirely different, the pure antithesis of one another. You know, bone broth is simmered over a very long period of time, releasing all this good stuff that we've been talking about. So you can either start by adding 2 cups a day. Just start. Say, I want to add 2 cups a day when I normally slump, or I want to put it in my gut the first thing in the morning. Start there. And if it's something that you think that you want to make part of your life, then I would suggest 2 non-consecutive days if you're trying to cut down on weight or you've got health issues that you want to start working on resolving. 2 non-consecutive days a week, sip on bone broth, have a light meal at night with a protein, with a carbohydrate and a healthy fat. And the kind of carbohydrates you should have are fibrous grains.
Yep.
Do that 2 non-consecutive days a week, and you'll start noticing that stored fat. What do I mean by stored fat? It's the stuff under here. It's the stuff on your arm, all that stuff, that the belly fat, that stuff that's really stubborn, that starts dissipating, because you're starting to do that metabolic switch. You're starting to burn fat in a different way. And that's why I love intermittent fasting. And what we found in studying 3 different cities with quite a lot of people was that you still get the same results with the white knuckling fasting, where you have nothing, that when you sip on bone broth. So it's been really advantageous for a lot of people.
We're coming up close to the end here, but a couple more quick questions because I want to get as much as I can out of you while you're here. How do you reconcile? Because it does seem like another kind of overarching nutrition challenge with women, again, stereotypically, but it pans out that this is something that happens, is women either tend to undereat or at least they undereat nutritionally. So maybe they're snacking all day, but they're not really getting like the nutrition that they need. Another way that bone broth can help out. But how do we, if we're working with women or we're consulting or coaching women, and we're at once trying to heal the gut and get them fat burning by incorporating some fasting, but also encouraging them to eat enough? How do we do that? Big question.
Well, yeah. And we've been in this culture of punishment.
Yeah.
So most women are punishing themselves into losing weight, working out hours and hours and eating less and less. And if you understand the real metrics behind this, and this is what I would encourage anyone who's working with these women, this is really about, again, I have three health prongs, but the three mental prongs are you really have to know yourself, you have to love yourself, and you have to be yourself. Those are the three other prongs. So we've got on one side, you've got to, you know, heal your gut. You've got to reduce overall inflammation. You've got to become that natural fat burner. On the other side, take time to know who you are. Take the time out to learn you. We study so many different things, but start learning you. And then the more you learn about yourself, find those extraordinary things about yourself that only you carry. You are your own DNA. Love yourself. And then once you get there, be yourself. And so a lot of this punishment that we do by saying, it's the only way I get results. It's the only way to get results. I promise you, I've been doing this over two decades. There are other ways besides starving yourself. In fact, starving yourself is right up there with artificial sweeteners. It's such false advertising. It's such false advertising because it's not how our physiology and our DNA works. It's not genetically how it works. So really understanding that, you know, maybe for you, you have to do some macro tracking for a while. Maybe for you, you've got to add in some intermittent fasting. Maybe for you, you have to start looking at the type of workout. I know a woman who is now down 23 pounds. She's been trying to lose weight. She's 51, been trying to lose weight. And she kept working out like her husband. Her husband's a CrossFitter and he had a certain way that he worked out. And for 12 years, this woman got up and did, you know, 5:30 every morning, got to the gym, tried to lose weight, you know, did everything. It wasn't until she got to this point where I said, you know what, do you think you're in Crazyville here? Do you think you need to take the time to sit down and know you, learn you a little bit? She did take that time. She learned a lot about herself. And part of that is she started learning about what she needs to do to lose weight. And so I talk about this a lot with exercise. You have to do what you love. And understand out there, folks, there are many, many ways to get results. There are many ways to get results in fitness. Take it from someone who's been sitting down next to women for two decades. There are many ways to get results. You do not have to suffer. Do what you love.
Okay. I mean, listen, that's the best place to end it because that's all I need people to hear. And I've been trying to tell people, I'm glad there are people like you out there who are doing the work. I appreciate you so much, Dr. Kellyanne. So valuable, so much information in such a short period of time. Where can folks go to learn more about the offerings that you have and bone broth and all of the good stuff that you talk about all the time?
Sure. Check me out on Instagram at Dr. Kellyanne, and you're going to be stuck with my last name on this, Dr. Kellyanne Petrucci. Check me out on Instagram. And I just started TikTok. I'd love it if you check me out on TikTok.
Can I get on TikTok?
Listen, I'm trying to learn this thing. You're allowed on there, but no laughing.
Okay. If you figure it out, you teach me. Okay.
It's a deal. We're all trying to figure out this whole thing together. So
that's true. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you.